This will be the topic of this morning session for the whole week, okay? So all together, exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord. Okay. Then how about we read the title of today's message? Exercising the Spirit to call the name of the Lord. Okay, so the first thing, and the brothers touched on this last night, but we need to be clear that as far as the vision is concerned that we want to see this week, the burden of that is in the evening line, right? So we should just have that in our consciousness. So we need to be focusing on that line as far as the vision is concerned. But as far as the application and the practical working out, that's what the morning and afternoon sessions are for. Okay? So every meeting, it doesn't matter whether it's morning, noon, or night, right? We need to have this prayer within us. Lord, I want what you have to speak in this meeting. I believe you have something to speak in this meeting. Don't let me miss it. And we should take care to deal with our heart even before every meeting. Just go to the Lord maybe for just 5 minutes before and say, Lord, is there anything I need to clear up with you? Lord, I want there to be a thoroughfare in my being so that you can flow all the way in. No frustrations, right? Okay. So in the evening line, it would also be... As we're going through the week, it would also be good to have this kind of question within ourselves. When we're in the morning and afternoon times, we should be considering, how is what I'm hearing now, how does that fit into the vision I saw last night? Right? And then during the evening, it would be good to have this question, Lord, how do I apply this vision in what I heard earlier today? Right? Always be seeking to figure out how does all this relate? You know, these outlines were put together in a very conscientious way, I guess. It's not an accident. These outlines are all in the same booklet. Okay, so just have that prayer in consideration before the Lord. So how does this line fit? Well, exercising our spirit is the way that we know, see, and gain God. The Bible is very clear about this, right? In Ephesians 1:17, Paul says it's a spirit, our spirit of wisdom and revelation. So if you want a revelation of who God is, you need to know your spirit.
Amen.
John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. If you want to contact God, you got to do it through your spirit, because God is spirit, right? John 4:14, Romans 8:10 through 11, 2 Timothy 4:22, all these verses indicate that the Lord is with our spirit. This is his address, right? So without our spirit, we have no way of relating to God. No, zero. You cannot relate with God until you know and are practiced in coming to him in your spirit, right? So what we're going to do today, I'm going to speak a little, so we read the title, right? So the emphasis in this message is on calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Such a precious practice that the Lord has given us. So I'm going to go over a little bit of the history of calling on the name of the Lord, and then I'm going to pass it off to Matt, and he's going to give us a few handles on how to enter into the reality of this. Not just in a dead ritual way, but really, like, how does this become real to us, right? Okay, so how about we do this? All together on the bold, we'll read through Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3, but we'll only go through C. On Roman numeral 3, okay? So we'll read the bolds all together, and then starting with brothers, we'll alternate A, B, A, B, C, and so forth, okay? That makes sense? Okay, all together on 1.
And to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh.
At that time, men began to call upon the name of Jehovah. Brothers.
Seth called his son's name Enosh, meaning frail, mortal man, because men realized that their life was vanity.
Amen.
And that they were frail and mortal. They spontaneously began to call upon the name of Jehovah, the Eternal One.
Sisters. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Brothers.
The Hebrew word for call means to call out to cry unto. That is, to cry out. The Greek word for call means to invoke a person, to call a person by name.
Amen.
To call on the Lord means to cry to Him and to experience spiritual breathing.
Amen. Why do we need to call on the name of the Lord? Sisters.
We need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved.
We need to call on the Lord to be rescued from distress, from trouble,
altogether on C.
We need to call on the Lord to partake of the Lord's salvation.
Good, good. So, in order to consider the what exactly calling is intrinsically, right, or in any matter, we need to go to the principle. We need to go to the time it's mentioned the first time in the Bible, right? There's this principle in the truth of the principle of first mention. The first time something is mentioned, that sets the principle for that thing throughout the rest of the Bible, okay? So in order to consider that in the way of calling on the name of the Lord, you have to go all the way back to Genesis 4, okay? Because as we read in Roman numeral 1, at the time that Enosh was born, Enosh was the third generation of man. In the third generation of man, men began to call on the name of Jehovah, right? But consider man up to this point, right? Man is not a common thing in God's creation, right? And we can see that from various angles. When God was creating, right, He created the grass produced according to its kind. Right? He says, let the trees bear fruit according to its kind, and bam, it happened. Let the cattle produce according to their kind, bam, it happened. The fish, bam. The birds, bam. But then at the climax, at the peak of God's creation, the sixth day, God stops. He pauses for a moment. And the three of the triune God have a council among themselves. They say, okay, now, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. So unlike everything else in the creation that's according to its own kind, fish kind, bird kind, grass kind, tree kind, right? Man is unique because he's not according to his own kind. At least in terms of the Bible, there's no such thing as mankind. Man is God's kind.
Amen.
And also, as he was creating man, He even creates man in a very unique way, right? It says in 2:7, I believe, he says he formed man from the dust of the ground, his body. He breathed into him the breath of life, that's his man's spirit, and man became a living soul. There wasn't this much care taken in creating other things, right? And nothing else had these three parts, right? Maybe two at the most, right? But man is unique because he has a spirit. Man has an organ that allows him to contact and receive God into him. This is unique in the whole creation. So I think the first kind of like first just side burden here. Oh no. Okay. The third point that shows us that man is unique. Nothing else received a commission. Only man received this commission, right? He said, after man was created in his image according to his likeness, he says, have dominion. So you see, God's purpose is altogether tied up in this one creature, right? And so I think in application, what I wanted to emphasize is in a godless age, never accept the lie that you're just like everything else in the creation. That's a lie. You are indispensable for God carrying out his purpose. But what happened to man before he could fulfill that purpose, right? We know that God placed him in front of the tree of life, indicating that man wouldn't be doing this in himself, but by God as his life and his life supply. But before man can partake of that tree, he takes of the wrong tree. He takes of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the principle of this tree, in the same way that the principle of tree of life is dependence, man becomes dependent on God. The principle of the tree of knowledge and good and evil is that he becomes independent of God. You could say he becomes godless. He's without God, right? And very soon after that fall, man begins to feel the effects of it. Not even just in an outward way as far as like offenses and sins, but inwardly, he begins to have this kind of inward realization, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And we know this by two names in the Bible. The first name is Abel. In Genesis 4:2, it says, and again, she gave birth to his brother Abel, and Abel was a tender of sheep. So the name Abel, he means breath or vanity. It's just emptiness. And so men are beginning to realize, as a result of the fall, as a result of my separation from God, I'm a senseless contradiction. I was made to contain God. I'm empty. I'm empty in the deepest parts of my being. I'm empty, right? And then the second name that's important is the one that we read in 4:26, Enosh. And Enosh's name means frail mortal man. So not only is man realizing that he's empty, but because he couldn't take God as the healthy element within him, and even took in the germ of the satanic life, he's realizing, I am so weak. I am so frail. I'm frail against the enemy in my environment. I'm even frail against the enemy within me, right? It's like I can't resist him. I'm so frail. So when, as men begin to have this realization, there's two responses that they begin to take. The first is the response from Cain, from the line of Cain. You know, after Cain was unrepentant of his sin, of creating a new religion and of murdering his brother, right? He was unrepentant of that. And so God had no choice. Cain had to leave God's presence. And so Cain just wanders the earth, right? And very soon, almost immediately after Cain goes out from the presence of God, in chapter 4, verse 17, Cain builds a city. Why does Cain build a city? What's a city for? A city is for protection, right? He didn't have God anymore. Cain was godless. He didn't have God as his protection, so he had to do something in his own effort, by his own strength, to do something to protect himself. Okay? Many generations after Cain, but in the same line, you have a man named Lamech, and he boasts to his wife that he's killed a man for wounding him. Why did Lamech do that? Because he couldn't look to God. Lamech was godless. He didn't have God to look for him as his, I guess, vengeance, right? He had to take vengeance in himself, right? Lamech's sons, Jubal, Jabal, and Tubal-Cain, right? Jubal, it says he became, this is all in chapter 4. You should go back and read chapter 4 in the footnotes and the life study. But Jubal became, he says, he became the father of those who play the lyre. Why would men begin to play a lyre? It's because they're empty. They're godless. They don't have God as their amusement. So they got to do something, right? So in their effort, Jabal becomes the father of those who dwell in tents and raise cattle. They can't look to God for provision, right? They don't have God. They're godless. And then Tubal-Cain became a forger of iron instruments, same principle as Cain. And then this one was very particularly touching to me. They had a sister named Naamah, and her name means making herself lovely and pleasant. So even the women, right, we're beginning to realize, I don't have God. I can't look to God to provide for this need of a husband. So I'm going to make myself beautiful and appeal to the lust of men's flesh to try and attract something. Again, doing it out of my own effort, doing something for myself, right? So I think a big, big burden to pick up in this is that some of these things were good. You could say good, right? I mean, he raised cattle to provide for his family, right? And some of these things were evil. He killed a man. Lamech killed a man. But we need to be clear, whether it was good or bad, it was godless. Our definition, the Bible's definition, is not the same definition as the world's. The world's definition of godless is that it's something that's evil. Our definition of godless is just what it is. It's without God. It's less God. Okay, so that was the line of Cain. That was one response to realizing man's emptiness and frailty. The other line, but this is in contrast to the line of Seth, which is also, you could kind of say, is the line of Abel as well. The line of life, right? This line, because they embraced God's salvation. Amen. They remained in the presence of God. And so as early as third generation, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. It's the same, like a brother said last night, it's the same chunk of Adam, right? They're the same, they're all men, and they all have the same realization, but the difference is one is in the presence of God and the other is not, and the one who is in the presence of God knows it. It's so interesting when in Genesis 4:26, when it says men began to call upon the name of, it doesn't say God, it doesn't say Elohim, right? We saw in the summer training, Elohim is the name of God in his creation, right? And this is a very objective title, right? But Jehovah is the name of God in relation to his people. I love that point on the outline. It's a title of intimacy and love, right? So the line, so Enosh and the men in his line had these three realizations. Pick these up, these three realizations. I am for God's purpose. This is the meaning of my existence. I have no other meaning other than this. Second, I am empty and frail. Despite what I see concerning God's economy, I can't meet it. And the third realization they had is, but God is near. Amen. But God is near. And so when all of these realizations begin to converge within man's being, it spontaneously produces this reaction. And men began to call, Lord, oh Jehovah, oh, you know. So when we read Genesis 4:26, we should not have any thought that this is just some kind of empty ritual, right? That men are doing this out of piety, you know, merely. But it's the convergence of these three realizations producing a desperate cry within man. And so, this can be our experience today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
These same realizations can be operating within us.
Amen.
We're here in the college training. Probably we've seen, at least to some extent, we are for God's purpose.
Amen.
We're not like the rest of creation, certainly, and we're even not like every other person on this planet. We are for God's purpose. And we probably have also had the realization, without God, I am empty and I am frail. I am frail against the lust of my flesh. I am frail against my self that gets offended so easily, right? I'm just so frail. But we also need to have this realization. Jehovah, who today is Jehovah the Savior, in other words, Jesus,
amen,
this one is in our spirit.
Amen.
He's not far away from us.
Amen.
He's not distant. Amen. He's so near. He's a call away.
Amen. That's right.
So we can cry out, "Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus." So just a couple of verses I wanted to emphasize, to emphasize this point, is that in John 8:58, the Lord says, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is the I am. Jesus is Jehovah. Amen. And in Colossians 2:9, it says, "All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily." Right? All the riches, right? In Ephesians 3:8, he is rich to all who call upon him. So what do you get when you combine all this? All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. He's the unsearchably rich one. Well, in Romans 10:12, it says he is rich to all who call upon him. He is rich to David when he calls upon him. Right? This one comes and fills up all the lack.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
In 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 1 Corinthians 15:45, we see that the Lord is the Spirit. As the Spirit, he is so near.
Amen.
Right? When Jesus was walking around as a man in the flesh on the earth, the most I could do was pat him on the shoulder or shake his hand, right? It's like he couldn't get inside of me. But now as the Spirit, he's a form so that he's nearer to me than he ever was to John. John leaned on his breast, but Jesus is in my spirit. Right? Right? Praise the Lord! That's who we're crying out to. It's not a vain practice to call out to him. He's so near! Amen. 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 So, I wanted to, for your reference, about 90% of everything I'm speaking is in the life study of Genesis, message 24 and 25, and a footnote 1 in Acts 2:21. Okay? So, and in that note, Acts 2:21, Brother Lee goes through, he does a pretty thorough treatment of all the people in the Bible who called upon the name of the Lord, right? Starting with Enosh, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Psalmist, even through the New Testament, right? So I don't have time to cover all of those, but there are three that I would like to just highlight. The first is Abraham, right? Okay, so the case of Abraham was that he was in the land of Haran, right? Worshipping idols like a pagan, right? But God appears to him and calls him out, right? So Abraham leaves his father, and he goes into a land, it says in Hebrews, that he didn't know, right? But then in Genesis 12:8, it says, "And he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, And there he built an altar to Jehovah and called upon the name of Jehovah. So the point I want us to get with this case is that there's probably a good number of us here who are in a similar situation as Abraham, right? It's like you're being called into a situation. You don't really know what's going to happen, right? Maybe you're graduating from high school. You're about to leave your father's house, right? And you don't really know what's ahead of you, right? God's calling you by faith. Or maybe you're graduating from college, right? And you don't know what's going to happen, right? You're leaving the locality you've been at for 4 years. I would just, with this in mind, with everything that we've talked about so far, with this in mind, I would just plead with you, don't try and do something in your own effort. Don't be godless to try and do something to secure your future. Obviously, we got to be practical, right? But the first thing, the primary thing, call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Cry out to Him. Amen. Look to Him. Amen. He'll be your roadmap. Right. He'll be your certainty, right? Okay, the second one I want to emphasize is Timothy. In 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22, Paul exhorts Timothy to cleanse himself of vessels of dishonor. And then he says, flee youthful lusts and pursue with those who call upon the name of the Lord in a pure heart. So with this one, we should pick up. It's like, if you find yourself in an environment where you're surrounded by vessels of dishonor, right? And the lusts of your youthful lust are stirred up in your flesh, you need to first flee that situation. And you need to get with your companions, and you need to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And then the last one, this one might be a little bit of a seed sown, but it's still very precious, is Saul of Tarsus. So we know that Saul, when he was persecuting the believers, right? It says that he was ravaged the church, right? He would arrest people, send them to the Sanhedrin, and then he would be the first one to cast the vote for the death penalty, right? And the way that he knew who to arrest was the callers. Who's calling on that name, Jesus? That's who I'm going to arrest. That's the first one that I'm going to send to death row, right? But we all know Saul, in the Lord's mercy, was turned. The Lord saved him. Amen. But I would propose that probably Saul didn't really feel like he could call on that name. Right? It's like, after all I've done, I'm not worthy of that name. How can I call on that name? But Ananias was very clear. He said, Paul, Saul, rise up, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Amen. Saul, forget the accusation in your conscience. Or not, maybe, excuse me, sorry, don't forget the accusation in your conscience. You need to care for your conscience. Forget the enemy's accusation. You need to call. Amen. So in application for this, I would say, In the course of our Christian life, this may happen, where we do something that, in all honesty, damages the saints. Do something that really hurts, damages the saints, even as an offense to God. At that moment, you need to tell the enemy to shut his lying mouth. Take the blood and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. The way is clear. That name is ours. Amen. The reference escapes me, but that name has been given to us. Amen. It's been given to us, and there is nothing that can take that name away from us. So, hopefully, this few little points kind of stirs up our appreciation. This is not something that we just do in the local churches. This is our inheritance. Amen. This is the inheritance of every believer.
Amen.
Every member of the body of Christ has been given the name of the Lord to cry out to. Okay, so maybe I'll stop here.
Call on the Lord.
Two times. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Three, good. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise Him.
Amen.
Calling on the Lord is a very practical and the best way to exercise your spirit. There are a lot of ways. There are ways to exercise your spirit. You can exercise your spirit by confessing your sins. That's a real exercise. Do you think it's exercising your spirit when you say, I really appreciated Ted sharing last night, because all his stories about apologizing to his wife for saying stuff, it's like, yep. But that's an exercise of your spirit to say, I'm sorry, honey. You exercised your spirit. Obviously, when you pray, you can exercise your spirit. But we have a handle. We have a precious provision. On, you could say this way, we have a secret on how not to be godless. Again, to come back, just like Bobby did, come back to what is our burden this week. We want to see God. We want to know Him. We want to gain Him. But you have to realize the context we're in. This is an age. It's not a godless age because we have God. But it is an age of godlessness. And you don't want to be godless. And if you want a handle, the best key, Eli, is to call on the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And we didn't make this up. This is not... Please go to look at that footnote that Bobby mentioned sometime. Acts 2:21, there are 48 different verses in there referencing. And I was wondering, I asked the brothers last night, how many do you think total verses there are that reference calling on the Lord in the Bible? Why is that so unusual to believers? It's been around for a long time. Our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather started it, calling on the Lord, because he realized how frail he was. But many of us, when we first came, Ryan, this is kind of weird. This is kind of weird. I asked the brothers in my van. There were 12 of us driving here from Houston. From down to the valley, then College Station, then here. And I asked the brothers, you be honest, wasn't that weird for you when you first came? All the calling, how loud the meetings are and all the calling on the Lord. I mean, you could be honest. That was strange. But that really shows that we're not normal. This is an age of godlessness. If it wasn't an age of godlessness, you'd hear calling everywhere. Because that's how you get God. Who is God? Say it. Yeah, again. Who is God?
Jesus.
So if you hear the name Jesus in your home, that means your home is not godless, Abnel. You hear, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. You know? When I was in college at UT, I'm sure just like you do, you have ups and downs in your Christian experience, right? And I was working, and I had unusual hours, so I was sleeping during the day, which we know from the Bible, generally, that doesn't work out. But I woke up in the afternoon, and what woke me up was brothers, three of them, were in my living room calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus! Three brothers, 1, 2, 3, just stand up and just start calling on the Lord. Not together, but just call on the Lord. Ready, go. Okay, so here.
Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus!
Hey, sit down. You know, when I woke up to that, I was so mad. Because why? I was godless. Vern knew me back then. Sometimes I was godless. I woke up, at least practically in my experience. I just had a lengthy period of time where I wasn't touching the Lord. I wasn't having morning revival. I just was dead all the time. And now these brothers are in my living room calling on the Lord. And I woke up because I heard that. They woke me up. It made me so mad. And when I woke up like that, the Lord had mercy. And I just realized, man, something's wrong with me, Ryan. something seriously wrong with my inner being. I've got to leave. I didn't even acknowledge these brothers. I just left. I left the apartment, and I went to where I worked. I had a big field there, and I just walked and walked and walked and just basically complained to the Lord and said bad things. And then I left that time. I said, Lord, if you're not going to talk to me, I'm not going to talk to you. And I went home. And then the brothers were all sleeping by then, and it was nighttime. My hours were really strange. And then I woke up at a normal time the next day, filled with repentance. It's like, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Lord Jesus, I'll come back to you. I come back. So I'm just telling you, we have a key. This is a rich inheritance that we just didn't inherit from Witness Lee. We got this from Enosh and so many others. Throughout church history, we can call on the Lord. Why is this so covered up and so unusual to believers? You know, the very best ones will say, hey, man, you shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. It happened to me in high school. I was riding the bus. We were going to a football game late, and I'm just sitting in the back, minding my own business, and I was softly calling on the Lord, Lord Jesus. And a kid in front of me turned around and said, hey, man, you shouldn't take Jesus' name in vain. I said, that's not what I'm doing. Let me explain to you. And we had good fellowship after that. And we actually had some fellowship. He was an upperclassman. But, you know, this is going to bring me to, I want to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 handles. I want to give you 7 practical handles on how to call on the Lord. Okay? And then I want to stop in about 15 minutes, and hopefully there'll be some time for some responding, okay? You know what? Let's take care of the outline. Hold that space in your book for the 7 points, but let's take care. Let's be faithful to the training. How about we all read D together? On Roman numeral 3, D, all of us together. Ready? Go.
We call on the Lord to receive the Spirit.
Whoa. That's how you receive the Spirit. Have you ever wondered, am I in my mind? Is this really the Lord? Am I in my spirit right now? How do I know? Maybe I'm just happy. Maybe I'm having a good day. Maybe it's good to be home and Mom made my favorite meal. That means I'm in spirit? Let me tell you. 1 Corinthians 12:3. It says, no one can say, Lord Jesus, or Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Except in the Holy Spirit, that's how you know. Do you want an instant way to be in your spirit? Be callers, brothers and sisters. I hope we all would be arrestable. Can you imagine living in a culture, a society, where church and state is so mixed together that this guy has the authority to come into your house and take you to prison because you were calling on the Lord? We don't hear too many about those brothers and sisters that got dragged to prison. But I hope we would be like that. Is that how you could be identified? Not that you go to a certain building or you wear certain t-shirts or whatever, but you call on the Lord and people hear that. Lord Jesus. Okay, that's how you receive the Spirit. Brothers on E, go. Amen. Share with you some verses from the English Standard Version of the Bible. This is Isaiah 55:6, and we used to sing a song that went to this, but our translation, it doesn't fit anymore. It goes, seek the Lord while he may be found. Isaiah 55:6. Then do what? Call upon him while he is near. Praise the Lord, we live in this age, brothers and sisters. You know, Bobby referenced some verses in Matthew chapter 11. He didn't give you the reference, but that stuff's in Matthew 11. Your greatness is determined by your proximity to the Lord. Among people born of women, and that's everybody, there's nobody greater than who? John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of the heavens is greater than he. So, really, Eli? Let's name some Old Testament people. David, King David. Are you greater than King David? John's greater than David, so are you greater than David too, since you're greater than John?
Amen.
That's good. Amen. I don't know, brother. I mean, Elijah, he burned 150 people. No, 100. 102 with fire. Did you ever do that? No. But that doesn't determine your greatness, does it? Your greatness is by your proximity to the Lord. John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ. But we have Jesus Christ living inside of us.
Amen.
Are we great?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay, but you have to call on the Lord while he is near. He's near right now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Call on the Lord, saints. You have to do this. This line is very important. How are you going to see God, know God, and gain God? How will you exist in an age of godlessness? You better know your spirit. Okay, how about everybody on F? Ready? Go.
We need to call on the Lord to enjoy the riches of the Lord.
This verse is too good. There's no distinction between Jews and Greeks. And you can put any, you fill in the blank. There's no distinction between men and women. There's no distinction between old and young. There's no distinction between kids down in the valley and kids in College Station. There's no distinction. For the same Lord is rich, I think, right? He's Lord of all, he's Lord of all, and he's rich to all who call upon him. And what is he rich in? Is redemption rich?
Yes.
Our sins are washed away, Abnel.
Amen.
And brother, I was very touched by Ted sharing last night because this sin factory, it just makes sins.
Right.
So more sins are going to come. But I have an item of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
All I have to do is confess my sins.
Amen.
And he washes me. How do you appropriate that particular aspect of Christ's riches? According to Colossians 10:12. I'm sorry, Colossians. According to Romans 10:12, how do you appropriate the... I'm sorry, Abnel, you're like, huh? This is a test. This is a strange test. How do we appropriate? He's rich to all who what? Call upon him. Do you need redemption?
Yes.
Even right now, is your conscience bothering you? You don't have to say, but... Can you call on the Lord even silently or not? No, you can't. I'm going to get to that. Can you call on the Lord quietly in a meeting, surrounded with people, and appropriate the riches of Christ's redemption? Can he be rich to you? Are you a mess? Do you think you're the worst person in this room? I had that thought last night, Bobby, about me. Just call on the Lord. Lord Jesus. How about this? Practice calling quietly, not loudly. Ready, go. Just do it a little bit. Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. Okay, is he rich in light? Yeah, he's rich in light. Do you know what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow? No, you have no light. Do you know what you're going to do when you grow up? Do you know how long you're going to live? Do you know who your spouse will be? Do you know anything, really? Do you know how you work? Do you know how an egg and a sperm become a person? You have no light. Do you want to appropriate the riches of God as light? How do you do it according to Romans 10:12? You call on his name. There's too much on this point. G, all together, go.
We need to call on the Lord to stir up ourselves to lay hold
on him. Okay, now Acts 64:7 is a sad verse. Isaiah, it's not being recorded, so no problem. Isaiah 64:7 is a sad verse. It says there's no one who stirs himself up. There's nobody. What kind of scenario, what kind of age does that describe? It's godless. There's no one that stirs himself up. There's no one that calls. Godless age. Don't be part of this age of godlessness. Call on the Lord. Okay, real burden here is Roman numeral 4 and 5, at least from my part. I'll read this. How should we call on the Lord? Going to give you some handles. I went to Ghana one year, and the brothers in Houston gave me, I think, 65 pounds of books to carry to Ghana. Mail is cheap. It's cheap to media rate bulk. But I was going, so can you bring these Bibles? Oh, man. I think I still have injury here in this arm from that, okay? And one of the problems was there were not good handles on that box. You have this huge store of the riches of Christ. You have an eternal God who is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ, who is now the Spirit and actually is inside of you. But you need handles. So in even with calling, I'm going to give you some handles, but let's take care of the outline. All of us on A, ready, go.
We must call on Him out of a pure heart. Our heart, which is the source, must be pure.
Amen.
Seeing nothing but the Lord Himself.
That's right. B, just the brothers, go. Let's try like that. Let's call on the Lord that way, opening our mouth wide. Just do it once. Ready? Go.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Ah, it's like good. It's good, huh? It's like you just, well, you breathe. That's deep breathing. In Lamentations 3:55 through 56, the prophet is there, and he says he's in a dungeon, in a low pit. You don't have to raise your hand, but who's ever been in prison before? Or, okay, maybe not physical prison, but how about who's ever been stuck with a really crummy roommate? And you got to go into that room every day. And it is not clean, according to your standard. And this person, and you just are stuck. Or this is just the brothers you're with. I mean, you can't transfer. You've already made your choice. You decided you didn't want to come to A&M. Fine. You're down there. You're with the brothers down in Edinburgh. But this is your prison. Jeremiah said, I called on your name, O Lord. You have heard my voice. Praise the Lord. Do not hide your ear at my breathing. Isn't that something? It progressed from Enosh, this weak, frail person, to Jeremiah realizing calling on the Lord is breathing. And I don't just call only when I realize I'm weak and frail, because I need to breathe all the time, Bobby. I can stop breathing maybe a minute, and then I'm dead. Or I don't know what it is when brain cells start to die. You can hold your breath for a while. But it's not very long. You've got to breathe. You've got to breathe. It should be, Lord Jesus. All day. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord, fill me. Make me living. Oh, Lord. Okay. B is we need to open our mouth wide. We did that. C, we need to call daily and hourly. We kind of did that just now. This one, Psalm 88:9, says that David called every day. Be somebody at least every day. At least call on the Lord every day. Finally, five, we need to exercise our entire being, especially our spirit, to call on the Lord. We exercise our spirit to call. And then B, in order to call on the Lord, we need to exercise our entire being. This means we need to exercise our spirit with our mind, emotion, will, and body to call on the name of the Lord. We use our mouth. I want to repeat, I may have said this already, but there is such a thing as silent prayer. It's valid. You can pray silently and really touch the Lord. There is not such a thing as silent calling. That does not exist. Calling must be audible. It doesn't have to be super duper loud, but you must move air across your vocal cords in order for it to be calling on the Lord. Okay? So let me give you some handles. One, audible. Calling on the Lord is audible. I feel for you. I sympathize with brothers and sisters that are of a more quiet disposition, and maybe you're introverts, but you just can't get off the hook here. It has to be audible. And under that category of audible, A and B, it can be loud or it can be not loud. Those are your options. Okay? But practice both kinds. Okay? And Psalm 81:10, open your mouth wide. Okay? Then the next one, calling frequently is with rejoicing. Isaiah 12 tells us this. That's your bucket. There's a well. It's called the well of salvation. Who's ever gone to a well and drawn water? It's pretty heavy when you get the bucket and you're coming up with the well. But your bucket is joy. And if you call on the Lord, try it with a smile. It doesn't always have to be like that. But call on the Lord joyfully. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't deserve to be alive. But I'm Eve. I'm living. That's what Eve means. Eve means living. That's how we know Adam and Eve believed. Okay, another handle is privately. And one of the brothers this morning, it might have been Ahmad, mentioned, go into your secret place, into your private room. We call on the Lord here, and everybody sees it. And we love to call on the Lord, and we get loud. Sometimes I like to just stop and listen to how loud the room is. And it's glorious. But, you know, there's two ways to enjoy the Lord, basically, alone and with others. Same with calling. Call privately. Log hours of secret times, hidden times with the Lord, where all you're doing is just calling on the Lord. Even practice. Get better at it. Are you good at calling on the Lord, David? Yes or no? That's okay. You don't have to answer. But practice. Practice. And have a lot of time alone calling on the Lord. Did you think this was weird when you first came? All the calling? Listen, this is very normal. I asked the brothers in my van. They're like, yeah. They said, yeah, it was odd. It was unusual. But it's normal now. One of the brothers says, it makes sense. So you bet it makes sense. Call on the Lord. We are normal. If you call on the Lord, you're normal. This is an age of godlessness. That's the abnormal part. It is normal to call on the Lord. What number? Four. Call with others. Call privately, call with others. And the brother already mentioned 2 Timothy 2:22. Same verse, though, number five, call out of a pure heart. Don't be one of these ones that says, but it doesn't work, Matt. I tried it. Calling doesn't work. You told me to call. You told me that all through like children's meeting and truth school and everything, but it doesn't work, Ryan. It does work. Spend some time with the Lord and flush out all the dirt in your heart, and then try it. As we know, even calling is a way to flush the dirt out. But a good way to call, you must call with those and out of a pure heart. Okay? Pure heart means what? It means single. Why are you calling on the Lord? It's probably valid. Any reason, just call. I need help. Oh, Lord Jesus. But to be pure means to be single. And you should spend some time calling because you just want the Lord. That's all I want. I'm not asking you for anything, Lord, other than you. That's a pure heart. Okay? the next one, every day. We did that one already. Call every day. And the last one, 1 Corinthians 1:2. The believers in the church in Corinth were those that called everywhere. Every place. Every place. So you can call anywhere. You can actually call everywhere. Not you can call anywhere. Brothers and sisters, call everywhere.
Amen.
Amen. So one last thing. Just want to give you a little story. There's a brother in Austin. He's a full-timer, and he got his PhD in botany. And so I call him whenever I have plant questions. He probably bothers him. And I asked him, I have this theory that the mass of plants... Who's ever seen a California redwood? They're so tall. They're really impressive. I was there with some brothers one time, college brothers. Brothers, let's stop here and look at this tree. And they just humored me. We've seen it before, Matt. It's not, but I'm from College Station, and our trees are like this big, you know. He said, but I was impressed with the mass of this tree. And I said, am I correct, Brother Paul, that the mass of the tree does not come up from the roots in the ground? He said, you're absolutely right, Matt, because if that was true, there'd be a big hole under every tree, right? It would get bigger, and the ground would. And the thing is, the mass of a tree is mainly what element? It's mainly carbon. I mean, there's probably some nitrogen in there and oxygen and hydrogen, but mainly it's carbon. And where does it get that carbon from? From the air. We breathe out C2O, O2C. We breathe out CO2. One C and two O's is what we breathe out. And then the tree takes it in, and it takes that carbon, and that becomes part of the tree. And then it breathes out what we can breathe in. It's actually glorious. God, it's pretty glorious if you think about it, creation. Listen, that's a picture. We are branches in the vine. In John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Do you want more mass? Do you want more Christ? Do you want to be not godless in an age of godlessness? You have to breathe. You have to call on the Lord and practice all these different ways. And then have Christ added to your being.